The Peter B. Collins Show is sponsored by the Organic Wine Company. News coming soon about how you can join the Organic Wine Club here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Click on the link on my homepage right now at peterbcollins.com for a special introductory offer to the fine world of organic wine. As I mentioned at the top, Mary Landrieu is one of my least favorite members of the United States Senate. She's the senator from oil and gas and also Louisiana. And that's on a good day. And so why, oh why, did James O'Keefe decide that Mary Landrieu was the legislator to go after over what he viewed as sellouts in the health care reform arguments in the Senate? I mean, Ben Nelson of Nebraska had a sweetheart deal, and Harry Reid of Nevada has a sweetheart deal, and Joey Lieberman was trying to cut his sweetheart deal. But the answer is that Landrieu is up for re-election this year, and so he and his cronies went into her office. And they claim now that they were simply trying to make the point that maybe her phone system was broken when constituents were trying to call to protest her wheeling and dealing, what they called the Louisiana Purchase, over her goodies in the health care package in the Senate. We turn to citizen journalist Brad Friedman, who's doing a great job on this story, among others, at bradblog.com. Brad, always good to have you on the program.
Always good to be back, sir, particularly when we get to talk about these right-wing phony acorn liars.
Well, and I want to offer you a compliment, and it's similar to what I said to Jason Leopold, who appeared in the preceding segment, and that is you use the web really well, and you write stories that are as long as they need to be, not stories to fit a news hole or, you know, given a word count that an editor might give you. And I have to say, in an email last night, I complimented you, but some of your turn of the phrase is really stellar. And so as we discuss this story, I don't want it to be a substitute. I want everyone who's listening to this to go to bradblog.com and read it for yourself, because it's not only great reportage, but I think it's extremely well written, and I just give you high marks for it, Brad.
You're very kind. I'll take it.
And also, they should note that it is your sixth birthday at bradblog.com, and there are ways that people can celebrate that. Read it on the homepage when you get there. So this guy O'Keefe came to attention last summer, when he released these highly edited videotapes that showed him and a young lady whose butt was hanging out going into Acorn offices at different locations around the country. And they've never released the full videotapes. Independent analysis has shown that the tapes were doctored, that voiceovers were used to advance a certain narrative that O'Keefe had in mind that was highly critical or embarrassing to Acorn, as he and this girl posed as a pimp and a hoe and were getting advice on how they could file their taxes and avoid getting caught. And some of these people were sucked into it. Others were suspicious and called the cops. But the net effect was that Congress rolled over because a few Republicans made charges about this, and they passed a remarkable bill with incredible Democratic support that was highly critical of Acorn and attempted to cut off their federal funding. That has since been stymied by a federal judge. But the onus remains on Acorn, which has had to scale back its operations in many cities. So fast forward to this recent event in New Orleans, and let me ask you to take over the narrative. This James O'Keefe and three of his buddies, all in their early to mid-20s, showed up at Mary Landrieu's office.
Yeah, and actually, before I hit what happened down there in Louisiana and that particular scam, let me just hit a few points in your summary there,
okay,
which are actually somewhat misleading in that they're based on the you know, the conventional wisdom about this case and about the Acorn case, but a lot of it is just out and out incorrect or misleading. For a start, James O'Keefe did not release those videotapes. A GOP operative, scam artist, propagandist by the name of Andrew Breitbart, who used to work for Matt Drudge, he released those tapes, and the reason why his releasing those tapes, or at least some of them, is important will probably be clear in a minute or two. So I just want to make sure that, folks know it was Breitbart who released O'Keefe's tape. Secondly, O'Keefe and Hannah Giles, you described that they dressed up as a hoe and a pimp and a hoe, and went into these offices. In fact, she was dressed up as a prostitute. He was dressed as a conservative college student, even represented himself in some of the offices as a potential congressional candidate. The shots that you and I and Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and everyone else saw of O'Keefe dressed up as a pimp were phony. They were put in afterwards. O'Keefe never went into those offices dressed as a pimp. Mm-hmm. Those were inserted later on. And you know, a lot of people looked at those and said, God, how stupid this Acorn Group must be that they would think that this guy was a pimp. Well, they didn't think that because he never represented himself that way. In fact, they had told the Acorn workers that he had that she was working for someone else, an abusive pimp, and that he was there to save her, get her out of the house, and rescue all of these underage children that were supposedly involved in this phony prostitution ring. So, I mean, the entire thing from the jump was a scam, and it was never reported that way. It was reported quite the opposite. Two independent reports later on came out in over the holidays, back in December or so, one of them from the Congressional Research Service, another from the former Massachusetts Attorney General, Scott Harshbarger. Harshbarger writes, quote, "No evidence that action, illegal or otherwise, was taken by any Acorn employee on behalf of the videographers." He's talking about O'Keefe and Giles there. You know, this was all a whole bunch of nothing. The Democrats should be ashamed of themselves for falling for this scam, for passing this bill that defunded Acorn, when, in fact, these other government contractors have defrauded the government, admitted defrauding the government to billions of dollars. Many of them are even on trial for doing things like killing our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, and yet they continue to receive more funding in a day than Acorn has received in their lifetime. So this entire thing was a setup. The Acorn business was a setup, going after that, going after Acorn for having the temerity, as you and I have discussed many times, for having the temerity to register millions of low and middle income voters who, oh, by the way, tend to vote Democratic.
Yep.
And register them legally, by the way.
Well, and one of the tricks that was used that you have disclosed to us in the past, Brad, is that when you are registering voters and somebody fills out a form that is obviously wrong or fraudulent, it is the responsibility of those who are gathering the signatures to turn in that form and report it to the voter, Secretary of State or whoever else is in charge of voter registration in a given jurisdiction.
That's right.
And so when they properly followed those procedures, and the example that I've heard very often is that somebody signed up Mickey Mouse. Well, they turned in the form that had Mickey Mouse on it, and they said, don't file this. This is not true. It's not accurate. And we're doing this as a matter of protocol.
They not only turned in the forms as they're required to by law and notified officials about it, they also notified officials about those employees who had created those phony registration forms. The reason we even know about a handful of Acorn's 13,000 employees being taken to task, arrested, whatever it was, for registration fraud is because Acorn themselves told officials about it. So, you know, they were doing their job, and of course the thanks that they have is these jerks like Breitbart and O'Keefe go out there and, you know, say there's some sort of criminal organization for what a handful of employees did and for what it was that they turned in. We've used the example before of you know, an employee who works at Walmart stealing off the shelves and using that as evidence that Walmart themselves are some sort of criminal organization. It makes absolutely no sense. But yet, this is what happened, and we need to go back through these facts about the entire anti-Acorn scheme to really set the groundwork for what we're looking at now in Louisiana. We know that that was a scheme, the Acorn business, and that was rather successful. So now when you look at this whatever happened in Mary Landrieu's office with these same players and a few more, and they're trying to get their asses off the hook, keep it in mind that when their successful scheme was full of lies, you can only imagine how they are willing to lie at this point to get themselves off the hook for a federal felony offense for which four of them have now been charged as of last week.
And the one other backstory here that I just want to underscore, and this, you know, relates to your beat, Brad, of election protection. I view this as an effort to distract people from election fraud, which is where those involved in the election, those who managed the election, either permitted or participated in throwing elections for specific candidates. And that issue has been pushed into the background, as the Republicans have always focused on their allegations of voter fraud.
Right.
And that's at the center of the U.S. attorney dismissal of David Iglesias in New Mexico and perhaps in other jurisdictions. And it has yet to be properly investigated so that we can understand the full dimensions of rigged elections and attempts to throw elections through the use of these phony allegations of voter fraud, as the real issue was election fraud.
That's right. This is the same scam played out over and over and over again. It's been played out for years. You've even got this liar, Andy Breitbart, out there tweeting to people. And Andy, by the way, has tweeted me death threats before. Now he's out there, tweeting that, oh, Brad Friedman and Diebold, you know, on the voting machines. He doesn't give a damn about legitimate elections. He's fighting against legitimate elections. And this is even after I spent a couple of weeks ago writing article after article for a far right-wing newspaper up in upstate New York concerning the Diebold concerns about the election in Massachusetts prior to the election. Spent time writing articles in their paper about how the Conservative Party's Doug Hoffman appears to have gotten screwed by electronic voting in last November's New York 23 special election.
Mm-hmm.
I've long made the argument that it's not about right and left, it's about right and wrong, and that I will go to bat for a Republican, a conservative, or anybody else who has been screwed by fraudulent elections. You know, on the other hand, you've got Andy Breitbart, who claims to be a journalist, who claims to be providing fairness and balance to the quote-unquote liberal media. That's the same thing that James O'Keefe is pretending that he's doing, when in fact, these guys are nothing but GOP Republican operatives willing to do anything, willing to lie to anybody, and willing to defraud any election they have to in order to put their party over country.
And, of course, it's infuriating to those of us who respect true journalism to see a guy like O'Keefe try to claim that he's a journalist and that this was some sort of a, you know, undercover, you know, investigative journalism tactic that he was using. So let's go to the events of Monday, January. That would have been about the 25th.
Yeah, so he's down there with three of his compadres, who have since been declared his co-conspirators, trying to get some sort of access for some reason that is still not clear to the Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu's office, her U.S. Senator's office down there in Louisiana. And two of the guys in this scheme dressed up as phone company employees and actually did succeed in getting access to the main phone at the main desk of Mary Landrieu's office down there. They then asked to get access to the phone closet, wherever that was, mm-hmm. for some reason or another. And at that point, the folks who worked down there in the office began to get suspicious. They called the police, and eventually this entire thing was untangled, and the FBI arrested these four guys. One of them, by the way, who was out in a car outside with a listening device while James O'Keefe was on the inside taking either photographs or video with his cell phone.
Now, when you say listening device, that means he had some gizmos that could be used to tap telephones, or that he was listening to what O'Keefe and the other guys were doing as they entered the office?
It's not completely clear.
Okay.
What the FBI did not do, they did not call it a cell phone. So, in other words, he wasn't talking to O'Keefe on the cell phone. He either had a walkie-talkie or, potentially some sort of listening device. The early reports had called this an attempted bugging. And later on, some of the newspapers had to backtrack on that, said, well, the FBI did not say they were trying to bug the office, but rather, quote-unquote, interfere with her telephones. It's not altogether clear what they mean by interfere, although O'Keefe himself tried, rather pathetically, I should add, to clarify that a bit by putting out his own statement, which, of course, Andy Breitbart ran on his biggovernment.com website. But the statement itself that O'Keefe offered to explain this scheme makes no sense. And I'll read you just a short portion of it. O'Keefe says, when asked about Senator Landrieu's explanation that her constituents were not able to get through to her on the phone last December, when the event, when the vote for health care was going on in the Senate, O'Keefe writes that Senator Landrieu's explanation was that, quote, our lines have been jammed for weeks, unquote. I decided to investigate why a representative of the people would be out of touch with her constituents for weeks because her phones were broken. Well, she never said that her phones were broken. Mm-hmm. She said that they had been jammed for weeks and that constituents had been calling in and expressing their opinions either for or against the health care bill that they were voting on last December. Nowhere in this explanation does O'Keefe explain why they would think that they would learn something about quote-unquote broken phones or phone lines being jammed in, when was this, late January, after the complaints were made last December. So that fails for a start. He also, O'Keefe says, that basically, if I could find the exact quote here, our intention, he says, was to, quote, ask the staff if their phones were working, unquote. Well, if I wonder if the phones are working in my Congress member's office, I'm not sure it's necessary to have two guys dress up as phone company employees, misrepresent themselves in a federal office, take photographs and videos of the answers, have a guy with a listening device out in the car. I mean, the entire thing, frankly, is complete and utter bullshit. And I can only hope that the federal prosecutors down there don't accept this bullshit at face value, but actually put some work into it and expose whatever the hell was going on. Now, there is some concern about that because one of these four creeps who, there used to be a phrase for this sort of thing back in the Nixon administration. I guess I can use it here, can't I?
Yes, you can.
This used to be called rat fucking.
Mm-hmm.
And these four rat fuckers were basically, obviously trying to set up Landrieu for something.
Yeah.
And the concern is that federal prosecutors at this point may fall for whatever cover story that O'Keefe has offered them. And there's a good likelihood of that, given the fact that one of the four rat fuckers was a guy by the name of Flanagan, James Flanagan. His father is actually, incredibly enough, the acting U.S. attorney in the state of Louisiana. So the very prosecutor's office that is prosecuting these guys is actually led by one of the perp's fathers.
Yeah.
So it's just unbelievable.
And my memory is a little weak on this, but there was a Republican activist who was convicted of phone jamming by doing, you know, repeated robocalls to Democrats.
Yeah.
It was in New Hampshire, and it would have been in...
That was Alan Raymond in 2002.
Uh-huh.
And James Tobin, who actually got off on a technicality, but Alan Raymond did serve time. The Republican Party obviously has a long and storied history and a very recent history of doing whatever they can to game elections, to tap phones, to jam phones, whatever they need to do. And this just seems to be, to me, another in a line of doing exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brad, there's another little interesting detail here. Wasn't the original complaint about jammed phone lines related to the senator's office in Baton Rouge, not New Orleans?
Yeah, there is some confusion about that. That's another issue, and I think that was one that Marcy Wheeler brought up, and I would strongly recommend Marcy Wheeler's just destruction of O'Keefe's statement that she ran over at Empty Wheel. She went through beat by beat and showed how the statement just makes absolutely no sense. Yeah, there was complaints about it at one office, so they went in to manipulate the phones at another. The complaints took place 2 months ago, so they went in there to ask about them now. And by ask about them, I put that in quotes because, you know, they were dressed like phone company employees and manipulating the actual phones. So we really don't know what happened. There is one question after another that remains out there. And for me, one of the biggest ones, Andrew Breitbart, who released those Acorn tapes, as we discussed earlier, admitted on the night that O'Keefe was arrested that O'Keefe is actually an employee of his, that mm-hmm. he pays him, quote, a fair salary. Now, the question must be asked, therefore, that if all of these employees who worked for Acorn, if they're guilty of something or another, and therefore Acorn is guilty of something or another because these employees who worked for them did something wrong, isn't Andy Breitbart also guilty since one of his employees has now actually been accused of a federal felony? This is an extraordinary double standard, even for Andy Breitbart and Fox News.
And Andy seems to maintain he has kind of two dismissals. One is that he didn't know about it, and the other is, well, these are just kids.
These are just, well, actually, that's the attorneys are claiming these are just kids. Mind
okay.
you, these kids are 25 years old, 24 years old. I don't know if kids is the right word for them, but there was... it's something else that he maintains, and let me see if I can pull up this quote here. While he was on the night of the arrest, he was brought onto Hugh Hewitt's radio show, and Hugh mm-hmm. Hewitt is another one of these reprehensible wing nuts who's been banging the phony Acorn drum now for years, frankly.
And his program is distributed by Salem, which is nominally a Christian radio network that does a lot of right-wing political coverage and advocacy.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly what he was doing. He was advocating at this point for Andy Breitbart, for O'Keefe, trying to save both of their asses. And Breitbart concurred with something that Hewitt said after it had come out actually on Hewitt's show that Breitbart had been paying O'Keefe a, quote, fair salary. Hewitt said to Breitbart as a way to excuse Breitbart for O'Keefe, you know, working for him, he said, quote, lots of people work for lots of corporations and do dumb and sometimes illegal things that are not within the scope of their employment, and this was not within the scope of his employment. Breitbart says, yes, absolutely, that is absolutely the case. I believe you understand the irony there.
I mean, yeah, you hire a provocateur and you write a job description.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, and of course the description probably was you can do whatever you want, just don't get caught.
Well, that's one, but let's make this matter even worse. Lots of people work for lots of corporations, do dumb and sometimes illegal things that are not within the scope of their employment, and yet these are the very same people who have said Acorn is a criminal organization because of a handful of employees who have done dumb and sometimes illegal things that are not within the scope of their employment. So you know, it makes Acorn a criminal organization, but in the case of Breitbart, where one of his employees have done a dumb and sometimes illegal thing, oh, in that case, it's just absolutely is one of those cases where it's not within the scope of his employment, so Andy Breitbart should not be held accountable for what his employee did.
Brad, you also linked to a piece that I read part of in the Sunday New York Times, where
yep.
they basically were minimizing this and making it a curiosity, but, you know, it was not given serious coverage. It was kind of a feature story where they rationalized, in many respects, what O'Keefe and his cronies were doing.
Yeah, it felt to me as I was reading it, this was in the Sunday New York Times this week, and it was a 2,250-word feature article on these guys, and the sense that I got was that they were really turning them into folk heroes, you know, as if they were out there fighting the good fight, these rebels against the system. I mean, it really kissed up to them and to Breitbart, who have been accused of federal felonies here. I found it appalling, and by way of contrast, by the time this podcast gets released, I'll have it up on bradblog.com, I hope, an article that came out today from the investigative unit at Associated Press, which really looked into the background of these T-buggers, and of all four of them, and including a fifth one who seems to have been one of the benefactors here in this operation, the guy by the name of Ben Wetmore, who has since taken his website down entirely. And it, you know, looks into the background of who these people are and, you know, exactly what kind of criminal operation we are likely looking at. It was a legitimate investigation. It was an excellent article. I highly recommend it. I'll be linking up to it at Bradblog shortly, but it provides a stark contrast when you look at the New York Times blowjob, frankly, for these four guys.
I gave up reading it. I lost interest because I just thought, wow, we're not digging for facts here.
Right.
We're looking for ways to turn this into a little sideshow of amusement, but not one that has significant implications. And as you've pointed out, Brad, in your piece, if if this were the flip side, where Democratic operatives had stumbled into Richard Shelby's office or, you know, some other very conservative Republican, all hell would break loose. This would be a dominant story, and the ripple effect to the Democrats would be significant, although a little unpredictable.
They would be Andy Breitbart and his cronies at Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and everybody else would be asking over and over again, what did Obama, Pelosi, Reid, Acorn, SEIU, and Saul Alinsky know about it? And when did they know about it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they would be asking. They would be demanding impeachment hearings for Barack Obama. This would be round the clock. This would be a headline story to the exclusion of everything else. But such as the only difference was you had Republican operatives showing up to bug or to tamper with the phones of a U.S. Democratic senator. This is just the liberal media going out of their way and, lying and doing whatever it is they do, and they're downplaying it everywhere they can. I mean, it's remarkable. I can't imagine four Democratic Party operatives directly connected to the Democratic Party trying to gain access to a U.S. senator, a Republican U.S. senator's office, and, you know, people pretty much just shuffling it off as you're seeing today.
And I did click on some of the links that you embedded in the article, but I failed to follow to Breitbart's Twitter comments.
Yeah.
And people can do that for themselves, and I'll ask you in a second if there's anything interesting there. But your money quote in this article is this one: Breitbart's recent Twittered attempts at spinning wingnut gold out of his employees' federally felonious straw comes in conjunction with his release on Friday of O'Keefe's first full statement. Well, wordsmith, dude.
Well, thank you, my friend.
were there any interesting comments in his tweets?
No, just lies and so forth. But what was interesting is the tactics themselves. both he and O'Keefe have now gone on the offensive, perhaps predictably so. They're now attacking the media for covering this story. Hmm. I mean, it's remarkable.
Well, and doesn't O'Keefe say that when we see the video that the government has taken into custody, that it'll all be explained?
Yes. This from the guy who refuses to release the full video from all of those Acorn scams that he pulled.
Yeah.
But somehow he expects the government to release the video that he himself took. So he's going on the offensive. He's saying this is all the liberal media's fault. They're all misreporting the story, and it's outrageous. And I've got about three or four different tweets of Andy Breitbart's tweets here where he says that O'Keefe should be presumed innocent until proven guilty. Now, I happen to agree with that. However, that is not the same standard that Breitbart and O'Keefe have applied for years past against folks involved with Acorn in any way, not to mention those folks down there detained in Gitmo who, you know, they want them executed without a trial and, you know, without any evidence that they're guilty of anything. So,
well, and Brad, your reporting is fair. It is sourced. It is credible. And I would contrast that with the way these shows, particularly on Fox with Greta Van Susteren and on Headline News with Nancy Grace,
yeah,
routinely try and convict people in between commercials.
Yeah. Well, they really do. And look, you want to bring people on there to make the case that somebody broke one law or another, fine. Andy Breitbart want to post James O'Keefe's statement as incredulous as it is. Fine. But, you know, how about bringing on Marcy Wheeler from Empty Wheel to respond to it? Because she tears it apart with facts, legal facts. Have me on there to counterbalance these things. You know, you can go out there, you can take videotapes. Perfect example, I think, is a short documentary film that we made back here in Los Angeles a few months ago where we went out and interviewed these teabaggers who were in the park who were preparing for this big national teabagging tour. And yes, I use sharp language. Yes, I'm very credulous about what it is that they're trying to say, but I tried to allow them to make their points. Mm-hmm. And if they wanted to look stupid, they could sink themselves. I didn't need to doctor the videotapes. I didn't need to insert stuff. I didn't need to overdub questions for these people so that they appeared to be answering something that they were not asked. That's exactly what James O'Keefe and Andy Breitbart did in their videos. They doctored it. They created it. Whereas if you look at my piece, if these teabaggers look bad, they have only themselves to blame. I went out of my way. As a matter of fact, there was a lot of stuff I did not use because the answers were so ridiculous and the conversations were so ridiculous, it looked as if, oh, I must have, you know, purposely manipulated them or set them up. I tried to be fair to these people and let them sink themselves. So there is a place in the new media out there for video, for these sort of video investigative reports, even if you come at it from a particular point of view. But be fair. You don't have to lie. You don't have to set people up. You don't have to do the kind of bullshit, and it is bullshit, that folks like James O'Keefe and Andy Breitbart have been doing. And, oh, by the way, that bullshit may also be illegal, as it's turned out that a lot of these videotapes that they took were actually taped illegally in a number of states.
Yeah. Excellent job, Brad. Anything we ought to cover before we wrap up here?
Oh, I'm sure there's more here than we've been able to get across, but I'll point folks to bradblog.com for more. I'll have more today, some questions that Andy Breitbart needs to answer, and I just hope that the media out there, I know you and I will do the job that needs to be done, but I hope that the rest of the media deals with this legitimately, and it's a very troubling situation because I fear this is going to get a lot worse. These guys, James O'Keefe, Andy Breitbart, have become heroes to a lot of these wing nuts out there, and it is in large part because they only tell them one side of the story, even while they're out there telling them that they, unlike everyone else, is providing fair and balanced coverage. It is a hoax, and I, you know, hope that people understand that, and I hope they pass on the word about this loud and clear everywhere they can, because I suspect the mainstream media is, once again, going to drop the ball, and the Democrats will run into their foxholes just as soon as they can.
Brad Friedman, bradblog.com, celebrating its 6th birthday. Happy birthday, and happy trails, Brad. I'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks for joining us for this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.